You will notice in your bulletin an announcement about the women's luncheon that is coming this Tuesday, and it is for Habitat for Humanity. I am inviting anyone in the congregation who would like to go along with me to go together, and we'll have a UCC table there. So please let me know today if you're interested in attending. So take a moment to imagine that you are walking alone down a dark street at night. Now, this is an unfamiliar street, and your nerves are a bit tense as you take each step. So you're concentrating on what and where you are. You're aware of the uneven surfaces beneath your feet, the sounds of the night, the shadows around you. So you're hyper-vigilant. It's as if your very life depends upon your senses. And then something runs out from behind a bush, and blood rushes through your system, and adrenaline is released into your bloodstream. Your heart picks up rhythm when it decides whether to fight or to flight. But it turns out to be a harmless bunny. And it takes a little bit of time for your system, your physical system, to adjust and for your breath to return to normal. These kinds of situations can be a normal part of our life, but over time, too many of those fight or flight situations will change your brain chemistry. In fact, it's been shown that of all the population, people who are prison inmates have larger brain stems than any other part of our population. And it's attributed to the high numbers of fight or flight experiences that they have. And so their brain stem has actually been affected by their life. In contrast, the group known to have the largest frontal lobe place, that most highly evolved part of the brain, which carries out higher mental functions and processes such as thinking, decision-making, reasoning, and planning, is in a totally different kind of population. Buddhist monks. Why? Well, because they change their brain chemistry by meditation. 2 years ago, I learned all about this kind of brain chemistry and how to change your brain by taking a mental mastery class here with Debbie Johnson. And for 6 weeks, she taught me how to meditate and to actually change my brain chemistry. So during this Build Your Own sermon series, which, by the way, I still have 1.5 slots left if you have a sermon idea you would like me to cover this summer. During the Build Your Own sermon series, I received a suggestion to preach about meditation, the varying types, and the benefits. So our traditional word today is from the Psalm 143. It's printed in your bulletin. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications in your faithfulness. Answer me in your righteousness. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Isn't that beautiful? Have you ever experienced that your soul thirsts for God like a dry, parched land? There are 5 major categories of meditation, and then there are numerous subcategories under each one. So I'm going to briefly go through the 5 different types of meditation, and then we'll talk about how Christians can use meditation to enhance their lives and even possibly change brain chemistry. The first is primordial sound meditation. In this type of meditation, you repeat a personal mantra, silently though, And you're allowed to enter into a deeper level of awareness by reducing the impact from your intellectual system. Now, that isn't to say that you turn off your brain, not at all. In fact, Deepak Chopra and Lady Gaga are proponents of this kind of meditation. Paul's laughing behind me at the fun, at the nature of this, but it's not supposed to be funny. For once, I tell a not joke, and he laughs. As Chopra said, meditation is not a way of making your mind quiet. It's a way of entering into the quiet that is already there. It's buried beneath 50,000 thoughts that the average person thinks each day. So primordial sound meditation is when you receive a personal mantra and you say it silently and allow all those 50,000 thoughts to be cleared away so that you can get down to the basic of your soul. The second kind of meditation is mindfulness-based, and this is a stress reducer. This technique uses both awareness and body. And by focusing on your inhalation and your exhalation, you focus attention on the physical body, and it starts at the toes, and then you work your way up with heightened awareness and relaxation. If you have trouble sleeping at night, this is a wonderful way to help your body relax. You lay in bed, you get comfortable as you can be when you can't sleep, and you begin with your toes, and you breathe in and out, and you think of your toes being heavy. And then you go to your heels, and then your ankles, and each part of your body as you come up, you relax into it. Third kind of meditation is Zen. Now, Zen emphasizes the attainment of enlightenment and the personal expression of insight, usually using Buddhist teachings. You can acquire insight, it's thought, through not only observing the breath, but also the mind. And through interaction with the teacher, you do Zen meditation until you have a sense and a rhythm for your own. I'll talk more about this in a moment. The fourth kind is transcendental meditation. Now, that kind of meditation was made popular by its famous followers like the Beatles, and it uses a mantra or a series of Sanskrit words to help with focused meditation. And since most of you were around during the Beatles' time, I'm not going to go farther into that because you've probably heard about transcendental meditation. The final kind, big category, is Kundalini yoga. And the range and variety of meditation techniques in yoga, as you may know, it's a very, very large field. The founder of this kind of meditation passed on hundreds of meditations to kind of tailored to specific applications. Some of those reduce stress, some work on addictions, some increase your vitality, and so forth. Now, research shows that spending time in mindful meditation of any type can combat anxiety and stress, depression, and at the same time, it can actually heighten optimism, creativity, vitality, and can even help with pain relief. Now, the Psalms in our Bible were implored over and over in the Psalms to be still. But in the modern world, I don't know about you, but I observe that we do a whole lot of spinning around like whirling dervishes. How many of you are making a job list for things you're going to do this afternoon during the sermon? Yeah, I know, I've sat out there, I know these things. One day, Eric came home. In fact, it was Easter Sunday, and he had on his bulletin his entire funeral service written out. He paid a whole lot of attention that morning. So even when we're supposed to be focused, even when we're supposed to be really listening, our minds are still going like these whirling dervishes. We scamper off to our jobs. We run three errands on the way to work. We talk on the mobile phone while driving. We listen with one ear to the radio newscast, and with the other ear, we keep watch for emergency vehicles or the stupid person in the car next to us also talking on her phone. And when we're distracted by this noise of life, it becomes even more important to listen. God's voice has many dimensions. Waves crashing on the shore, birds singing, children laughing, and that quiet voice within our own spirit. We kid ourselves when we think that talking to God is prayer. Prayer isn't about the words we say. It's not about the length of the prayer or even the beautiful words that are used to pray. Because prayer is about the depths of our soul, a depth we can seldom reach if we don't meditate and if we believe that prayer involves our mouth moving. If you're looking to develop your spiritual life, or you're trying to make sense of the life you're living, then quit working so hard at it and just start listening. Mystic Simone Weil says that we dread being alone because silence requires great attention, and that the cultivation of attention is an arduous, painful task. And yet, here are some of the benefits. Meditation not only has a positive impact on our spiritual lives, but it also benefits our physical bodies with, and these are proven scientific facts, lower blood pressure, improved blood circulation, lower heart rate, less perspiration, improved attention and concentration. In fact, a couple of weeks of meditation, just the training part of it, an hour a day, brought up verbal reasoning scores by 16%. Can you imagine? 2 weeks of meditation training, 1 hour a day, brings your verbal scores up that high. It also creates less anxiety and depression. In fact, some studies show that medication and meditation produce comparable results. How many of you would rather meditate than medicate? It includes lower blood cortisol levels, better feelings of well-being, less stress, deeper relaxation and sleep, better immune function, better memory and increased functionality, diminishment of age effects on gray matter, and the reduction of cognitive dysfunction. Are you convinced? This is good stuff. In Buddhist philosophy, the ultimate benefit of meditation is the liberation of the mind from attachment to things it cannot control, such as external circumstances or strong internal reactions. And now we even have a scientific evidence to show that those who meditate, when faced with a scary or upsetting sensation, can function normally and rationally. Remember the monks and the inmates? So my cousin, Gay Lynn, was raised in a Presbyterian home. Her dad, my uncle, is a Presbyterian minister and author. And as an adult, Gay Lynn, who's my favorite cousin, although I'll deny that I said that if other cousins come to visit, she worships in a Quaker church, and she practices Zen. And during a very difficult time in my life, Galen invited me to participate in an informal week-long gathering of her friends at Grand Lake, Colorado. After I got there, she began introducing her friends to me, and I realized I'd been set up. They included a Roman Catholic nun, the Christian ethics professor from the University of Colorado, and his wife, a Zen master, Galen and her husband, and me. And all of them were vegetarian. So I became a vegetarian that week. All of them spent a considerable amount of time in silence every day, and when we all were there together, the first thing that was discussed was that we observe silence during all the daylight hours. So I became a silent person with some protest. We cooked together in the evenings and spoke around the dinner table after dark, and you might think that spending six people spending the days in absolute silence would have animate conversations when darkness fell. Not so. They were still quiet. The conversation was actually very easy, but it had comfortable pauses. And every word they spoke kind of seemed freely spoken and yet specifically chosen. The conversation was deep and rewarding. I learned so much that week. Now I'll tell you, my husband Eric, his description was that I came home, continued to avoid meat, quit shaving my legs, became a hippie, and basically went off the left side of the continuum of earth. I will tell you that Galen saved my life. She saved my sanity, because the week of silence and meditation gave me peace to live and to grow my faith. It gave me serenity and depth. And ever since, I have worked more or less successfully to be very intentional about my quiet time. Rick Fields wrote in a book, Chop Wood, Carry Water, A Guide to Finding Spiritual Fulfillment in Everyday Life, when we pay attention, whatever we are doing, our lives are transformed and it becomes a part of our spiritual path. We begin to notice details and textures that we never noticed before. Everyday life becomes clearer, sharper, and at the same time, more spacious. Isn't that beautiful? So if you're looking to enrich your spiritual life, or chill down your physical body, or spend some alone time outside the chaos of the world that surrounds us, I would encourage you to take a little time to meditate. If you need resources or ideas or a guide, I would be happy to share those with you. That's your week's challenge and this week's Build Your Own Sermon. Thank you to the person who came up with this idea. It challenged me quite a bit. Our closing hymn is printed in your bulletin, Your People, O God. As you're able, please stand and let's sing together.